Fantasy freaks and geeks, what is up? Why don't you check out the NFL Fantasy Live podcast?
Yeah, NFL Fantasy Live podcast is Tuesdays and Fridays. You can find it on iTunes, on NFL.com. We always give you the top waiver wire pickups, starts and sits, everything you need
matchups,
to win a championship. Everything. A lot of
podcast.
Star Wars stuff.
Yeah. You'll laugh. You'll cry. You'll wear a tie and eat yogurt. It's great.
Listen.
All right, the Whiz Kid from Wisconsin, MG, Marcus Grant, Michael Fabiano, and me, James Coe, every Tuesday and Friday on the NFL Fantasy Live podcast.
Going to the hurry up offense.
Yes, hi and hello and welcome to the Dave Dameshek football program presented as always by McDonald's. Go get you some of them delicious chicken McNuggets, 100% all white meat, no preservatives, colors, so on and so forth. Nothing but deliciousness awaits your taste buds here in Studio 66 today. It is time to jump in. We are unveiling the so-called projections. I am going to go 1 through 16 in the AFC today. Next week, we'll talk about the NFC. These are subject to change. Of course, Matt Harmon, Handsome Hank in here. We'll say proper hellos in a minute, but it is the hurry up. Let's get to it. Handsome Hank, Eli Manning or Tony Romo, who would you rather have as your quarterback in 2016?
I'll go with Tony Romo, please.
Matt Harmon.
Eli Manning.
In fantasy?
Both.
Really? Handsome?
Really?
Explain yourself quickly.
I just think Tony Romo at his best is better than Eli at his best recently.
Both one or the other or none Hall of Famers?
Neither.
Neither's a Hall of Famer. That's incorrect.
I say Eli's a Hall of Famer.
Eli's a Hall of Famer.
We had this discussion.
Romo's got to go
week
deep.
Ago.
I know. People are always interested in it. Two new stadium sponsorship names. Which would you rather play in? The Hard Rock Stadium or the New Era Stadium, Harmon?
I don't want to burn any bridges here, but Marcus Grant made a good point the other day. Is Hard Rock really making enough money to slap their name on a stadium at this point?
It is funny. Is it 1982?
Well, they graduated from cafes to hotels, so I feel like maybe that's how they're making their money. That said, my team does or apparently is going to be playing in the Hard Rock Stadium. I prefer Landshark for Miami. That's had several names since they moved out of Joe Robbie, which was its original name.
A lot of headlines on the way here, and I see, Handsome, you led the charge here. Ryan Tannehill finding himself between a rock and a hard place. So
yeah,
on
I
and
went
so
there,
forth.
Sorry.
I don't look forward to any of those. Mm-hmm. Bucks or Jags? There's some excitement down in the state of Florida for both of these young football teams. Which team would you rather be a fan of for the next 3 years, Handsome Hank?
I go Jags. I think they're a little bit further along that path. But I think I agree. But I think both are pretty exciting teams to be around.
Harmon, how say you?
I think I like the quarterback better on the Bucs, but right. I can't go against my guy Allen Robinson and the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Ah, but Mike Evans is better than Allen Robinson, with all due respect to your favorite wide receiver, Mr. Reception Perception.
That's fine. If you'd like to say wrong things in this podcast studio, you could exactly. You could say things like
that. Do you like it when passes bounce off players' hands?
I don't listen, one bad year, but Mike Evans' numbers 2 years ago were sublime. Allen Robinson blew up in 2015. You wait and see. 2016 is the year of Mike Evans. I like him very much in fantasy and in reality, and I like the Bucs to actually win one more game than the Jags will win in 2016, to answer my own question. We'll get into greater detail with that team in just a minute. Who's going to be the first coach fired? I hate to be so negative here in August, but you know it happens every year multiple times. Who's the first one out the door? Harmon.
I'm going to go with Rex out of the three we've got on the screen here.
Oh, yes. If you're watching, and we appreciate you watching, you can do so. NFL.com/podcasts is the place to do it. We see Jeff Fisher. We see Gus Bradley, an interesting one to see up there. And Rexy, Handsome, how say you?
I don't think any of those three go during the season. I think they're all definitely on hot seats or hot-ish seats. Rex probably the hottest of them all. But I don't think any of those guys get canned during the season. And I'm not sure I can think of anyone that definitely will do. The one guy who doesn't appear to be on any of those lists right now, but I think probably is at risk, is if the Cowboys have another bad year. And, of course, we know that last year was based on the fact that there were a bunch of injuries. But, you know, with all the suspensions and everything else that's happening on the defense, it wouldn't be crazy to think that the Cowboys have another poor year. And I think then Jason Garrett would be at risk.
Don't forget what happened mid-year in 2015. The Detroit Lions laid waste to several of their coaching staff, several members of that. And so Jim Caldwell might be on the chopping block if they get out of the gate tepidly. I'm going to go with Rex Ryan. I don't know if he'll be the first, but I think he flew a little too close to the sun like Icarus by bringing Rob Ryan in there. That was a bad move by him, I think, in football terms. And then I think it sends a weird message to the Bills organization that you're bringing your brother in. I think you're going to have to feel like if you're the Bills then to push back, you're going to have to just purge both Ryan brothers. What I do see looming, though, is Reggie Ragland, I feel like, was going to be a good middle linebacker for them. We like Shaq Lawson a lot as a person, and he was certainly dominant at Clemson, but neither one of those guys may play a snap unless Shaq Lawson gets out there in the tail end of 2016. I think whoever takes his team over in 2017 is going to have a much better defense, but Rex will not be around to see it.
Dave, just a word on nepotism in the NFL. It is kind of extraordinary how, like, I get the Rex and Rob thing, you know, that's pretty unique in bringing your brother, but watching Hard Knocks, Jeff Fisher's son is the coach of the defensive backs for the Rams. There's so many times where these guys, you know, and I get it, it's a family business and whatever else, but it does occur to you that there must be, of all the football coaches out there in America coaching, you know, in college and high school, whatever, could it really be true that, you know, it happens on, let's say, I'm guessing at this, but probably more than 25% of teams, the head coach's kid or the brother or whatever else. Can it really be true that that's the best guy for the job?
That's interesting. I wonder if there's a higher rate of nepotism in the NFL than in other professions. I've always said that I would be willing to have taken over my father's medical practice. Mm. You know, I walk into the, hey, are you Dr. Damashek? No, I'm just mister. But my old man, you know, he told me a couple things before
he passed on
retired,
a bit.
So, yeah.
Exactly.
Finally, what are you looking forward to in preseason week two? I always say preseason lies to your eyes. Don't believe what you see there. Nevertheless, Harmon.
I love the preseason, not as much as I love the regular season, of course, but for two reasons. One is position battles, like with the Ravens running backs as a group I'm really watching right now. I think Buck Allen is kind of entrenched as a receiver, but we're hearing that steady drumbeat of Terrence West, and it is coming to fruition in the preseason, and it's something that I'm buying in on right now. So I want to watch that continue to grow, and also because we're talking before we started, I love college football and those fringe roster guys like Rashard Higgins, who I was a big fan of at Colorado State. You get to see those guys play, so I like watching those as well as the position battles.
Handsome Hank.
I have been slightly worried by the performance, or at least the reported performance, of the Dolphins offense in practice and then in their first preseason game. So, I mean, the way that I like to watch preseason is you choose guys on your team that you're interested in, maybe some of the fringe guys as well. Leonte Carew is a receiver that they drafted that I'm really interested in. So I like to keep an eye on those guys, knowing, of course, that the guy that's probably throwing them the ball in that case isn't necessarily your number one guy. The other thing, two guys who you can see on the screen here, Moritz Boehringer, we heard a lot about during the draft, and then Anthony Dable, who's a French receiver for the New York Giants. Both guys that I am really interested in seeing get their first shots to play in the NFL.
Continental Handsome Hank, not leaving his roots behind, not forgetting them. I want to dig in on these Miami Dolphins. We'll do so in just a second. I don't remember what I told you, MVP, I was going to talk about here. Oh, Paxton Lynch. Yes, I was excited to see him. I mean, the word is Trevor Siemian is now beating out Mark Sanchez. At least Siemian is going to get the gig or to start in preseason week two. I'm going to switch it up, though. Jimmy Garoppolo is a fascinating guy. I still want to see Paxton Lynch, but Garoppolo...
They immediately have to take down the image they kindly put up there.
If you're reading the buzz out of Patriots camp, there's mild concern about Garoppolo and the speed with which he's making decisions. Of course, we're assuming that the Patriots are going to be great. I'll tell you how great I think they're going to be in just a second. But if they get out of the gate really poorly with Garoppolo, that'll shake things up.
I'm sad my nickname for Garoppolo, the Garoppopotamus, hasn't taken off as much.
And why was what was behind that?
It just is. I like it.
It's catchy.
Yeah, it's catchy.
It is cute. All right, start the show. Yes, hi and hello, and welcome to the DDFP, presented by McDonald's. I mentioned them Chicken McNuggets. They're a good choice at lunch or dinner, or you can get an all-day breakfast.
Did you bring us any?
Pleasure. No. You know what, though? When I think about Chicken McNuggets, because my kids love them, and it reminds me that before we press on here, on a serious note, I owe the children of America an apology. I do this annually. The kids are back to school, and it's not even Labor Day yet
right
now. Mm. I made a promise as a child that when I ascend to the top of America's mountain, that my first order of business will be to cut back on the school days during the week. It would just be a 3 or maybe 4 day a week thing, and you'd only go for maybe half the year. And under my watch, it's in fact gone the other direction.
Right.
I failed you. I failed you kids out there, and I owe you an apology, and I don't know what else I can say about this. How did we get into a place where we're starting school in August? It's summer.
That's a travesty. But by proxy, did you just say that you have already ascended to the top of America's mountain here?
You're right. I do have a couple more strides to go before I reach the very peak.
Don't be so hard on yourself yet.
You're right. You're right. Okay, thank you for that. All right, let's dig in here now. And by the way, Matt Harmon, I promised that we would say proper hellos. Before we dig in on the AFC 1 through 16 rankings here, we are getting to a point where Matt Harmon needs his own intro music here. He's been such a regular here. Give us your Twitter handle.
At Matt Harmon _BYB, unfortunately.
Got to do something about that.
That's horrible.
Listen, it's at the point now where I just have to kind of live with it.
There are other Matt Harmons out there.
There is an at Matt Harmon, but he hasn't tweeted since like 2013.
Tweet at him, say, hey, can I have your handle, please? By the way, how do all these, some of the women that have seemed to have taken over other people's Twitter handles and posting suggestive pictures, how do they get, they seem to do a great job of getting other people's Twitter handles.
I don't have any insight on this particular matter.
It's very strange, and I do think it's funny now. How long's Twitter been around? 8, 10 years, something like that?
2009, I think it started.
Yep.
Oh, is that right? Wow, is that right? Only 2009. Right. It hasn't even been close to a decade yet. Think of the influence that it's had. We need to work out hard and fast rules here. Imagine, though, in 2009, if you embraced some silly nickname, you tried to make a joke with your Twitter handle. Now you're stuck with that.
Right.
That's even worse than having an underscore in there. But we do need some hard and fast etiquette on Twitter. I tweeted at somebody the other day something, somebody who is a relevant sports journalist. He didn't even bother to reply back. He could subtweet me. He could have let me. He could have said, "Oh yeah, that's it." How dare you, sir?
And you've got
like slapping my face.
Why should they have done that?
Because I contacted them. I deserve it. As somebody who is 3 to 4 strides away from the peak of America's mountain, according to Matt Harmon.
What can you
I think I'm owed a response.
You've got the blue check too, so you know that notification pops up on their phone.
That's
you can't turn that off.
Let's get into the AFC here. Before we do that, though, let's say hello properly to our oldest and favorite, seated to my immediate left, all the way from London, England. He is now our resident Miami Dolphins fan. It's Handsome Hank. Another reminder, if you're not listening to the DDFP, or if you're listening, we appreciate you subscribing, commenting, everything else. If you're watching, go to NFL.com/podcast if you would like to view the podcast. And there you will see a grand intro video for Handsome Hank. How are you, Handsome Hank?
I am very well indeed. Thank you very much for
asking. I know. You must be doing well. You've gone 3 buttons deep.
I'm sorry, everyone.
There.
Oh, wow.
Sorry,
a little
America.
Risque. It's
like,
that's how you can tell that,
maybe you
that
could
Handsome
zip.
Hank is more important than I am.
Yeah, I'm wearing...
Maybe you could zip up a little bit more.
Well, I'm wearing a... what would you call this? A warm-up jacket?
It's for an athlete.
Yeah, an athlete.
Combine.
Yeah.
I got it at the combine because I'm fancy, and it has a number 7 on it. It has a QB on it, and so next year I should really do that. I should just wear this around and see if people start in. There were a couple times I did wear the jacket, and a couple people gave me looks as if to, is he really going out
really
there with
be?
The QBs today? Let's see. Maybe
that 50-year-old pot-bellied man.
I was going to say, there's certainly no distinction between you and a college-aged quarterback.
I feel like, though, we are about 2 years away from the combine. It's sort of reaching that almost the same type of pinnacle as you are, but the lurid color that every year the players are assigned like a lurid like highlighter marker, orange or green was last year. I think we're a couple years away from that being a thing that people look forward to, and they're like, I wonder what color they're going to be wearing this year. Maybe it'll be lurid pink.
They should sell these at NFL.com.
I believe
like
they
this. Do. Oh, do they?
Yeah,
oh,
something similar.
By the way, the proper pronunciation, and I've fallen into the trap, it's combine. It's not combine.
I'm so sorry. Yeah.
Combine is a piece of farming equipment. A combine is when you get people together to do one thing. You combine them. So why would it be combine? Except that, as somebody has pointed out to me, that that a combine separates the wheat from the chaff. So metaphorically, it does make sense. But I don't think they were that clever
when they
were doing that. Also, we do have to work in here somewhere along the way today our handsome QB rankings. That's a request from a listener. MVP, please find that tweet so we can get to that. And also, please have the schedules of the AFC teams ready to go if we need to run through them at all. Meantime, let's start with the AFC East, and I will unveil for you at number one. It's a little anticlimactic because this is the best team in the AFC, but atop the East, of course, and in fact, all the AFC, with a 13-3 record, I say the New England Patriots are a dominant team this year. Mentioned Garoppolo can maybe undermine that a little bit if he goes 1-3, 2-2. I suspect he's going to be more along the lines of 3-1. Harmon, how say you?
I mean, I'm fine with that. I think that they'll probably start out the gate just fine with Garoppolo. I mean, they won 11 games with Matt Castle not long ago, who actually took some snaps at tight end in college. He never even took a quarterback snap. I mean, so I think they'll be fine. They have a really good weapon still. They've got Gronk. They've got Martellus Bennett, who I really do think is going to be a big factor there. And they had a nice-looking rookie, Malcolm Mitchell, who I was a big fan of in college, but he got hurt. They've got a nice collection of weapons. I think they will still score points.
Handsome.
Yeah, I mean, I'm certainly not going to argue. It'll be what, 92 years in a row. But if they do it again this year, that they've won the AFC East, I say 13-3 might be 12-4. It might be 14-2, but it'll be somewhere in that range. I don't see any other team in that division. They all have big enough holes that they're not really going to challenge the Patriots.
I mean, the thing that I have said, you know, for now 15 years, or at least the second half of the 15-year run of Patriots dominance in the 21st century, is for Belichick, who is supposedly, he nominally on the rise, was a defensive wizard. The defenses weren't really good, but over the last couple of years, the defense has been getting better and better, and I have a feeling that this defense might be one of the very best that Belichick has fielded since way back in the mid-aughts, you know, when they had McGinnis, Ty Law, and the rest there. They have some great pieces there. And then the offensive weapons, you hit on it there. The highlight is Martellus Bennett now with Gronk, matchup nightmares there. Mm-hmm. And Julian Edelman's going to be back, and Amendola, we'll see what he can contribute there. And for what it's worth, Tom Brady, we know when he gets back, we know pissed Tom Brady is the most diabolical Tom Brady.
Right, that's definitely a thing.
I mean, really, but the question is this, and I don't want to indulge this too much because I think we know the answer, but wouldn't it be fun if Garoppolo went 4-0, and not only 4-0, but was averaging 325 and 3 or 4 touchdowns and was super efficient and wasn't throwing bad picks or anything like that? Wouldn't that what do you think would be just handsome, because you deal with the fan reaction to some degree in your gig. What do you think – what kind of push do you suppose there might be from Patriots land to stick with the kid?
I don't really think there would be any.
I mean, I don't think Belichick would.
No, of course he's not going to indulge that. But I mean, what kind of fan base? So if it was that Brady had been injured or Brady had fallen off and then Garoppolo, you know, if Brady had been playing badly, then got injured, then Garoppolo got his shot, then you can understand why that might possibly happen. But Patriots fans, if anything, are even more wedded to Tom Brady now because of the reason that he's not playing for this first 4 weeks. So, they're not going to be there afterwards going, let's stick with the kid, even if he does have those great games. I think they'll be thrilled that one day when Brady eventually does begin to or decide to retire or his career goes in the wrong direction, they'd have someone there. But I think more than anything, I think Jimmy Garoppolo will probably be fine. And I think that he will be another, and the Patriots have done this before, he'll be another trade bait quarterback so that this time next year, or maybe not this time next year, but next March, April, when there are teams that are looking for a quarterback, you know, Belichick can
flip him. That I disagree with. I think this is his audition, in fact, and if he plays well enough, I think they will have to retain him. Brady's right there at the door of...
But Brady says he wants to play for another however many years.
Well, that's silly.
It's nice to want things, but what will be really interesting is if Brady comes back after the suspension and starts slow.
I guess that's what it would require. Right. Week 5, week 6, week 7. Well, Brady's really not looking too good.
Unless
if he plays the way he played what was that, 3 years ago now, where,
right,
where
they had
really
that big Monday night game against the Chiefs.
Ago, against the Chiefs was the nadir of the Patriots dynasty here.
Yeah, that would
they
be
won the Super Bowl that year.
I know.
Right.
So let's So I think people will be able to remember back 2 years, but maybe some fans can't.
But this is a prolific offense. It really doesn't matter. Deion Lewis, you know, questions about whether he's going to be ready for the start of the season, but they have pieces in the backfield there. It's a pass first offense either way, and guys like Jamie Collins and then Ninkovich is going to get back, and Sheard and Chris Long for what he can contribute at this point. I mean, they just seem loaded on both sides of the ball. The Jets almost made the playoffs last year. I say this year they regress to 8-8, which really isn't that big a knock. If you look up their first five games of the season, MVP, if you would, dig up their first five games to start the thing, and it will dampen any enthusiasm you have for their prospects in 2016. Handsome, what do you make of this of this group with Fitzmagic back in the fold?
I think they could be a wild card team. I wouldn't be at all surprised. I think their offense is better than it was. I think, you know, second year of Todd Bowles, the defense is going to be should be pretty good. I wouldn't be shocked. That whole division, you know, the reason that they all have very tough schedules, they're playing the NFC West, and there's a lot of travel involved, and there's obviously some really good teams there. I wouldn't be shocked if the Jets, you know, right? Am I allowed to spoil who else you've picked?
Yeah, what do you think?
I have to give some context to why I think that they might outperform one of the teams that you've.
Final call, MVP behind the glass.
She's
do you
in
want
charge.
Me to reveal all right now
Girl
and then
power.
We'll go through it?
Yeah, reveal your first board.
My first board. What's my first board? The whole AFC?
It's TV talk.
First
you just
division.
Just say yes.
Yes, reveal the full board. I don't know what's going to go on there. Oh, my AFC's predictions. There they are. The Patriots are the number one seed in the conference. Your Jet. Why does it say Jets 9-7? I gave you 8-8, and then the Dolphins are 7-9, and the poor Bills are 5-11. I just thought, you know what?
Hey. When you did this, did you actually add up the game? Because I've done this with you before,
yes.
Where you had more wins than there were games.
You can check my math. Okay. It is 100% accurate. There are the same number. If you add cumulatively, same number of wins as there are losses.
Okay.
I understand math.
I know you do, but this is the first year you've understood math.
No, that's not true. And let me tell you another thing. I have said it before. Now that school's underway, one of my many laments about my time with the man – as a minor, which is, you know, once you're past 18, then the man owns you 365. And, you know, when you're a child, he only owns you for 9 months out of the year. But he forces you to learn math that you just absolutely positively do not need. You need addition, subtraction, multiplication tables up through 11 or 12. Maybe a little long division. After that, it's all nonsense.
I like short division better than long division.
Where is long
Nailed
short
it.
Division?
Short division is just the one where you don't have more than one number. You know, I can divide something by anything up to 10.
I've never heard of short division. What?
Well, it's just normal division.
I guess just standard division.
It's just not
standard
difficult
division.
Well,
appropriate that we would be talking about this as we go through the AFC divisions. But yes, I used my addition skills that I learned back
Good.
In second
I'm not,
grade.
Look, I'm not questioning your addition skills. I just know that in the past you just ignored that and you hope that it was somewhere close.
I have the Jets at 8-8. I have the Dolphins at 7-9. So that board that we showed was inaccurate. But Bills are 5-11 now. Back to where we started here, Hans.
Yeah, it doesn't really help me because I was saying that the Jets. I think the Jets could be better than 8-8. I think the Jets could challenge for a wild card berth. You have, and I am going to spoil things. You have the Bengals and Raiders as your two wild card teams in the AFC. Sorry, everyone, for spoiling that surprise. And I think that the Jets could challenge maybe the Raiders, who I think you have as the sixth seed. For that spot. I just think they're going to be a lot better on offense than they were. And I think that the Ryan Fitzpatrick, you know, obviously had that horrific Week 17 game last year. I think it's great they got him back. But with Matt Forte in the backfield, I think
boy, predicated on if your assumption that they're going to be better than last year because the offense is going to be better, boy, I find that
I think the offense will be better.
Awfully dicey. Why? Because Forte over Ivory?
I think Forte, they've got more depth at receiver. I think that they can be a good team.
Harmon, do you like Forte? Tay in fantasy?
I don't. Not where he's currently going. I think he's going too high. In fact,
which is where?
about like the fourth, fifth round. I think that's too high for him. They have pretty much said from the beginning, every beat writer has said it, the team has intimated it, that this is going to be a split backfield. You know, they gave Bilal Powell pretty much an identical contract right after they brought Matt Forte, and I just wrote about Bilal Powell yesterday.
I love Billy Powell.
Yeah, he's great. I mean, he played really well down the stretch. He has a similar sort of skill set as a pass catcher out of the backfield. And, you know, this offense, too, where I think that they both could thrive is that they really only have the two receivers. They have Marshall and they have Decker, and all the targets pretty much funnel to them. They could use Forte out in the slot and then still have Powell in the backfield, and both of those guys could make hay. So, in a way, I'd just rather take the cheaper guy in fantasy, and that's Powell right now.
All right. I mean, I like the magic that Chan Gailey has worked at every stop along the way when he's coordinating an offense specifically. I also think that they would have been fine for that reason with Geno Smith under center in 2016. But the guy who is the X factor, if you will, for this team, maybe making them more special is Leonard Williams this year in year two. If he takes off the way he was expected, remember, a lot of people floated him as the best player available in the 2015 draft. Yep. He was good last year. If he really soars this year on what is a potentially really dominant front there for the Jets, maybe they will be better along the lines of what Handsome's thinking. The Dolphins are a team that, once again, I know it's Groundhog Day for you, Handsome, not in a good way with Ryan Tannehill, but I think this, you know, Adam Gase, people are very excited about him, and he has done good work in his last two stops in the NFL, including up in Chicago. And I know people have said that Tannehill, look, he got to work with Mike Sherman. Remember when people were super excited about that because that was his A&M coach and people thought, well, that'll do it. But all right, that doesn't necessarily equate to success in the NFL because he was with Brett Favre. And in the same way, Joe Philbin had the benefit of working with Aaron Rodgers. It's sort of like Matt Leinart being the quarterback of a very talented USC team. Like, well, who's really the good
right
one? Is Leinart benefiting from the talent or vice versa? Was Joe Philbin overrated as a QB guru because he happened to be working with Aaron Rodgers? And same goes for Mike Sherman. When he was with Brett Favre. Maybe Gase is the real deal. And in year five for Ryan Tannehill, I don't think it's absurd, especially with Leonte Carew, Jarvis Landry, who is now emerging as one of the perennial most underrated guys because he's not a game breaker, but as a number one receiver, he's not great because his yards per catch.
He's not going to be asked to be that number one receiver.
No, but now Devontae Parker. Right. However, I asked Matt Harmon about him recently. You're down on Parker, eh?
I am, based on what his expectations are right now, because I think he made a lot of those splash plays towards the end of last season. And sometimes, especially in fantasy, we get caught up in highlight bias. And when you look at, you know, I chart all the routes for the wide receivers for reception perception, he had one of the lowest success rate versus press coverage scores that I've had in series history. And I think that's a trouble for him right now, is consistently succeeding on the outside. But I do think the team realizes that, because there were reports that they want to use him in the slot and off the line of scrimmage as the flanker. And I think that's why they took Carew. Right. They called him a target player in the press conference after the draft. They traded some pretty serious draft capital in 2017 to get him, because he's that guy you can put on the line of scrimmage and can consistently win against press coverage. So these three as a trio, I think I'm really excited about them and the future going forward. But for this year, I think Parker will finish a little bit lower expectations wise what people are thinking he's going to do.
Well, also another guy who you can say every year, this guy maybe is going to break through, but Jordan Cameron is there too.
Yeah.
By the way, too, I'm a pedigree snob, and Laremy Tunsil, if he didn't put the mask on with the weed and everything, he would have gone no worse than second or third I guess he wouldn't have gotten in the top two, but third or fourth in this draft. And he fell because he was burning tree in that video, and everybody remembers. But now he's on that offensive
right
line overall.
Well, he's not right now, actually. They still have not given him the go-ahead to be a starter.
All right,
despite
they will.
They will do, probably.
They've been playing him at guard, too, right, which is interesting because, I mean, he was a stud left tackle at Ole Miss.
But that's where he's going to – I mean, that's where the biggest hole – left
right
guard was the biggest issue.
Yes.
Brandon Albert's playing left tackle. I don't think he – unless Brandon Albert gets injured or his age catches up with him, I don't believe that Tunsil will be playing left tackle for the Dolphins this year. That's not the plan.
And, you know, this is a team that maybe shouldn't be looking to add a couple finishing touches. This isn't a team good enough to do that. But if things break just so for them, I like Mario Williams when you put him next to Ndamukong Suh. I like anybody if you put him next to Ndamukong Suh. Plus Cameron Wake returning. I don't think the prospects are absolutely grim. At least you have playmakers, and I talk about that a lot. You want splash playmakers on defense in 21st century NFL, and Kiko Alonso is that right, handsome?
The secondary is the biggest question mark the defense, and that's going to be, you know, obviously that's the defensive line will look better if the secondary is good, but I think the secondary is their biggest weakness, and I think that's why they're going to struggle. I think overall as well, the offense, you know, this is also, I think you started talking about it, but it's Tannehill's, what, fourth offense during his five-year career that he's had to learn. I think that Gase's offense is going to take a little while for them all to get on the same page. And I think especially with that, you know, like you said, with the Jets, they have a horribly tough first few weeks of the season. They go to the Seattle to begin with. They got a Patriots game. They got the Bengals. They got the Steelers early. So I think it's going to take a while for them to get going. I wouldn't be surprised if they're one of those teams that halfway through the season is really struggling and looks to move some pieces, you know, maybe some of those defensive players, maybe not Mario Williams, but Cam Wake, they just signed a new contract with him, but I wouldn't be surprised for them to put him on the trade block or someone like him halfway through the season and then try and acquire some picks and as they carry on a rebuilding project, which is really what this is for Gase.
All right, so I hear you, and in fact,
I think
it sounds like
seven and nine is we're closer to five.
Well, and by the way, I do have to mention, if you're a fan base of a team that I have losing double digits, somebody has to do it. I can't make everybody have a winning record. That's unreasonable.
Well, and you did last year, I think. That was what I was bringing up earlier on.
Listen, I like my glass to be half full in August, and I like for fan bases around Football America to be excited for the season. Bills, though, I have at 5-11. I love the offense. I love it. People say I overrate Tyrod Taylor. But Sammy Watkins, talk about pedigree snobbery. I like, remember, Sammy Watkins was almost consensus better than Odell Beckham. That doesn't make
it so. I
don't
think it was almost consensus. I think
it was
consensus.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, but and people say, well, oh, that's laughable now. But Sammy Watkins, if you watched him last year, was terrific when he was out there.
Dominant down the stretch.
Yeah. I mean, they had, you know, now you talk Charles Clay and Shady McCoy and Reggie Bush, not in a feature role. So you can hope for a few special plays out of him. The question is the defense for Rex Ryan and – no Marcell Dareus to start the year. That's bad. We already talked about the two rookies that are going to be down. Any reason to think this team is better than where I'm putting them, Harmon?
I don't know. I agree with you. I think the defense is the biggest question and, you know, just the attitude of the team in general. I mean, this was like almost a mutiny at the end of last year, and I don't know that Rex bringing in his brother is going to make anything that much better. You know, the defensive pieces that they were counting on to really be starters in the draft, they're all hurt at this point. I don't know how they're any better than they were last year, and their offense, while they have, you know, three, like a really exciting group of triplets in Tyrod Taylor, LeSean McCoy, when he's healthy, and Sammy Watkins, both the running back and the receiver have injury. All three of them really have injury questions.
Right.
And then beyond that, there's not a ton of depth.
Who would you take outside of Brady? Who do you want in fantasy as your quarterback out of this AFC East? I like Tyrod Taylor.
I would say Tyrod Taylor. Yeah.
The defense is bad. I mean, that's rudimentary fantasy math, but it is. Like, he's going to throw it more in the second half.
How long can you wait on him to draft him as your quarterback?
I think, like, the earliest he would go is, like, the 11th round in most casual drafts, and that might even be aggressive. I mean, and he's a running quarterback.
Yeah.
And that rushing yardage from the quarterback position is, like, it's a cheat code because you just get more points than passing. I like Fitzpatrick too, though. I would not be shocked if the Jets finish as a top five passing offense in terms of attempts. They spent the 11th most time of possession last year while leading. I could see that coming back a little bit, and they were already a top 10 pass attempt offense.
Yeah, so I really ironically love the offense in Buffalo and am uninspired.
The secondary is not terrible. They've got a good young secondary.
They've got a couple of good cover corners there. Did I get my records right? Anybody want to throw out any alterations? If Garoppolo goes 3-1, I think 14-2 or maybe even 15-1 is reasonable for this team. I think Brady and company are going to come out like a house.
The only thing I would say is, like I said, with all the teams – playing the NFC West and the travel that involves, you know, that knocks people down, and they may lose something that perhaps they were expected to win just because they got to go so far.
Be afraid, NFL. If Garoppolo goes down to Arizona and wins in week one, that might be our best hope of seeing the Patriots get a 2 seed or a 3 seed, because it looks to me like they're the clear-cut best team in a relatively soft AFC this year. Now to the North, and we'll work backwards to forwards here for a little are we going to show the graphic there, MVP? You want to show it? Let's show how we have it. I'm sorry, Browns fans. I know people are excited about Hugh and company, but 4-12. Ravens at 7-9.
Get the Browns to 4?
No, I have the Ravens at 6-10. I don't know where these numbers are coming from.
I think Black Tie just decided he would change things around.
These numbers are.
He doesn't agree.
I have the Bengals at 9-7.
Hey, people. Man, I just decided I didn't like your numbers.
I have the Ravens at 6-10, not 7-9, and I have the Bengals at 9-7. I think the absence of Hugh. I think the absence of a clear number
Shaq,
two
you can't
pass
blame,
catcher.
You can't blame the team for getting your numbers wrong. We all know you keep changing your predictions, you know?
Hey, these are pencil for now. I don't know who's going to get injured between now and the start of the season.
Don't blame
these are
us,
penciled in right now.
Just saying.
It's a range of outcomes.
Right.
Exactly.
Anything can happen.
It's not a record.
If Dave says everything, then he'll be right.
Yeah, I mean, you
and
stink.
We've seen this before.
What he means by 7-9 is that they win anywhere between 7-9 games. That's what he means.
Oh.
What creeps. Now, let me tell you something. I think Cleveland, we can go through them fairly quickly. But, Harmon, from a fantasy perspective, anybody intriguing here? I know who you're going to say.
I kind of like this whole offense for fantasy a little bit. I know that sounds crazy because it's the Browns. But, listen, Hugh Jackson is a proven maximizer of talent. We've seen him do that in his Oakland tenure and then again in Cincinnati. He got some of the best years of a lot of those guys' careers last year. And I like the talent level. I mean, Corey Coleman, I think, is going to be a stud. He could be
with RG3 throwing him the ball.
Well, I mean, I think that he will be a volatile asset. Like, he'll produce some big, big games and then a couple of, you know, 3-for-40 type of lines. And that's fine. But I think you're going to be chasing those big games. Down the line, I think he could be a legit number one receiver. Kind of think like Martavis Bryant in Pittsburgh, how he was used as a rookie as a field stretcher and a short intermediate guy. I think you could see that with Corey Coleman early.
In the passing game, well, RG3 is the as big an X factor as there is in all the NFL, except this team is not, no matter what happens, isn't going to be competitive for the Super Bowl or anything. But
sure, but then you got Josh Gordon.
If he takes off.
If Gordon comes back even at 80% of what he was, that's a pretty big boost for an offense that has some other pieces. I mean, Gary Barnage, I think, had a legit breakout year last year. The two backfield guys are interesting because
I thought that's what you were going to say was Duke Johnson. I think that guy is a real value in fantasy.
I think
he's
already being taken at his ceiling. When he goes in like the 5th, 6th round of especially non-PPR drafts, like he caught 62 passes as a rookie last year. I could see him finishing even a little bit less because they've just got more threats now.
Right.
They've got Coleman, they've got Barnage, they've got Gordon when he's playing. I like Rashard Higgins, who I mentioned up top. You know, he's probably not going to be a big factor, but at the same time, like, they've just got more weapons to spread it around to than just taking a lot of dump-offs to Duke Johnson.
All right, too soon, though, to be really optimistic about what they're going to do.
Agreed.
In Cleveland. The Ravens, though, I think a lot of people, just because their name is the Baltimore Ravens and we've come to expect a certain level of success from them, so the assumption is, well, they won't be down for too long. Handsome, 6-10, am I overly aggressive with my expectations of them staying down where they were
last
year?
I think you are. I think the Ravens could bounce back, and, you know, so much of that was, again, last year was injuries and people not being available to them. I think 9-7 is probably their ceiling, but it could happen again. It doesn't seem likely with that team.
I just don't like I mean, I say it all the time, but I don't love the depth that they have on either side of the line, and that's a major factor. That's a principal aspect of why they are relevant more seasons than not. That's sort of going away now. We've watched that attrition over the last couple of years. And Flacco, for all the talk, and people want to – I mean, when you complain too much about some, when you keep having to say, he is so elite, maybe he's not elite, finally. Maybe Joe Flacco is very good, and he's clutch, and believe me, as a Steelers fan, he goes into Heinz Field and plays his best ball every time he goes in there. He is what you like the least in an opposing QB. He can throw 11 horrendous balls in a row, and he just keeps on firing. Like he keeps on coming back like the T-1000. That being said, he is not an elite quarterback, save 3 weeks about 4 or 5 Januaries ago. The Bengals, and by the way, I, and you know, also he's hamstrung by who he has to throw to. This is such a tight end heavy offense. I don't know you can expect anything out of Steve Smith, you know.
Kamar Aiken's the guy.
Come on
there.
With Kamar Aiken.
I love Kamar
How excited
Aiken.
Can you be about Kamar Aiken?
What do you mean?
He's
well,
fine.
He played well last year.
I know. He played fine for a little while.
And he's going to be the target. I mean, that's
He's going to get.
He's going to have to.
He's going to have to catch passes.
Someone has to. They're going to throw the ball.
Bengals at 9-7. Like I say, I think the Marv Lewis thing at some point, you know, Marv is a steady hand and successful franchises obviously know when to stick with a guy. But I at some point, you know, Rex is so volatile that, you know, that burns out quickly. But Marv's been there for a long time now. At some point, this vanilla approach. I mean, this is based on nothing other than my expectation that at some point it's got to come around. Don't they have to do something to do this? Yeah, they've been consistent and they keep getting into the postseason, but it's Andy Dalton, and I don't love Andy Dalton.
Just because that has to happen doesn't necessarily mean that they fall off this year. I agree with you that Marv would knock the guy that's going to lead this team to a Super Bowl. Just like, you know, if you remember back when the Buccaneers started rising and Tony Dungy took them to a height and then probably couldn't get that team over the top. I don't think it necessarily means that they're going to fall off. I think they'll still be the type of team that gets to the playoffs, you know, relatively easily and then probably falters there.
I just don't think. I know he had a couple of good second half comebacks in early in 2015 in specific games, but I just don't buy, and I don't want to make too big a deal out of the JJ Watt calling him a BB gun, but that just further exposed the fact that he is not a guy who deals well with adversity. When it went against him 3 years ago now in the postseason against the Chargers, he's a guy that when the ball gets rolling in the wrong direction, he hasn't shown a knack for turning that around.
What do you think the chances are then of them at some point turning to AJ McCarron?
I think it's legitimate.
I don't anticipate it happening. But if it got to halfway through the season and he's regressed, and I'm not anticipating that this would be an issue, I think they've got a really great backup plan in AJ McCarron.
See, I don't think McCarron's that good. I don't think – I thought he was propped up by his
– I agree. You know who he's about as good as? Andy Dalton.
See, the thing – all you have to do with Andy Dalton
– Andy Dalton's been around, so he's got that.
To prove your point, and I might be talking out of both sides of my mouth here, but to prove your point on Andy Dalton, all you got to do is look back at the last 3 years. In 2013, he was a really strong, productive quarterback when he had all of his weapons there. And same thing last year when they had Marvin Jones, Mohamed Sanu. Those guys are gone. They had Tyler Eifert breaking out. And then in 2014, when A.J. Green was hurt and Eifert was lost for pretty much the entire season, he was bad in 2014. And
he
now
is classic. We called him a Brussels sprout the other day.
Yeah,
Brussels
exactly.
Sprout is not good on its own. You really need the bacon bits and all the dressing to make
it. I don't know about the bacon bits in the Brussels sprouts, by the way.
You're wrong about that.
I mean, it might taste better, but what's the point of eating Brussels sprouts if you're going to put bacon in there?
Because Brussels sprouts are inedible is the point.
That's so wrong. You're not making your Brussels sprouts right.
Well, we'll talk recipes but I can give you a couple of restaurants in the Los Angeles area that really, I mean, they're doing
people are
miracles.
Doing good things with Brussels sprouts. True, over vinegar themselves.
After you get by AJ Green, so now you're down to that, maybe Tyler Boyd, but you know already Tyler Eifert with question marks there. The thing he also has going for him is one of the by pedigree, at least by the guys out there where they were drafted and everything else. He has a very good offensive line,
that's
and
true.
As I always say, I defer to people who do that for a living, who play offensive line. They will agree that that's one of the two or three best lines.
What do we expect from Jeremy Hill this year?
Who knows? It's so hard to say. He was.
I like him, and I like Bernard.
Right.
They're a good, really good backfield duo, but I mean, Hill played bad last year.
Yeah, he was bad.
He was tentative. He even said after the year that he's like, I was trying to do too much. Like, he's definitely just a downhill banger. I don't think he's one of the best running backs in the NFL, but he's really strong at what he does when he's doing it well. So if he gets back to it, and because there are so many injuries in the passing game, they really probably do need to get back to establishing the run a bit. But, I mean, honestly, I don't know. It's so hard to tell. He was very, very good as a rookie and then very, very bad last year.
I don't know, man. I think Hugh Jackson, maybe last year was their year to cash in. It looked like there was a soft spot there at the very top of the AFC and the Patriots and Broncos. I think they could have been had, and maybe Dalton let that one, you know, bite with the thumb injury. Maybe that's what scuttled them. At the top of the division, call me a homer all you want, but I will
remind
you.
I'm going to call you a homer.
Let me tell you something. 4 straight years now, I have correctly called the Steelers' final record. I mean, that's remarkable. Call me a homer all you want. That's pretty good. I've told you what their record's going to be for four straight years.
I would call that a humble brag, but there's nothing humble about it.
That's awesome. Yeah. How big a homer am I if I can tell you they're going to go 8-8?
That's terrific, but just because it happened four times out of four times doesn't mean it's going to happen five times out of five.
I got them at 11-5 here in mid-August.
How many dudes can you lose on offense before it just – and that's the strength of your team before you take a big step back? That's my question.
You know what? This thing evolves season to season in the Pittsburgh Steelers. People didn't really observe it too much until December or January, but they happen to have a rising defense here. I know people want to knock the secondary, and rightly so, but that front seven ain't jive, handsome.
Yeah, I mean, it could be. I want to know who's going to step up on offense, who you believe, because they're pumping a bunch of
Ben
players.
Roethlisberger and Antonio Brown. How about that?
But who are the other players? Who are they pumping
D'Angelo
up?
Williams for 4 weeks, and then Le'Veon Bell comes out. Le'Veon Bell's not out for the entire year. We'll see you in October, Lev.
I get it, but if their defense is not going to be as good as you think it's going to be,
I didn't say it's going to be number one. But
sure,
they have.
But that's what I'm saying. If their defense is not going to be great, their offense is going to have to be.
Their defense was great at the end of last year. Why is it not going to be?
And they had Martavis Bryant there, and it's. Right. I mean, that's a fact. They score a touchdown more a game with him in there. He's a difference maker.
I agree with that.
And Handsome's right. They were pumping up
Sammy Coates. Is getting pumped up,
and then he went out there and was a disaster in the first
preseason. And then Ladarius Green, who was the big offseason. Wow, you had that.
Now
what's going to happen?
Now there's talk he might go on IR.
Right.
Listen.
I just want to know who the people are who are going to start.
First of all, Mike Munchak has transformed that offensive line, so that's a good place to start. Whoever you put in there carrying the ball is likely to succeed, especially when you have high-end talents like D'Angelo Williams and Le'Veon Bell. All right. You have the best receiver in the NFL in Antonio Brown. You have one of the top three or four quarterbacks in Ben Roethlisberger. That's enough to get by and be a plus offense. And the defense is going to be a top-10 defense. I really like what they have. You know, I was concerned before the draft what they were going to do at nose tackle. I now am feeling a little more at ease with that. I like their linebackers. X-factor guy, Ryan Shazier. If he plays the way he did in the second half of last year, the question is for him, his health, his body type, and everything else. But if he can continue to make difference-making plays like he did every game he played in the second half of last year, creating turnovers, and he's I keep saying, what the Honey Badger is in the secondary, Ryan Shazier has the potential to be a hybrid kind of guy who can do great things in pass coverage as well as being. For a guy who's built the way he is, he's a dominant.
Oh!
Oh, wow.
It's another surprise game show. Today, Ryan Bartlett out on maternity leave.
Oh, yes! Congratulations and mazel tov. To our pal RB and his wife, they have a new beautiful little boy.
Axel Bartlett, a new Los Angeles native. Well, speaking of L.A., the Rams went 21 years. They were away in St. Louis. Trivia today, the game show. There have been 43 quarterbacks over that 21-year period that have started an AFC or NFC championship game. Who are those quarterbacks?
Give me that question one more time.
43 quarterbacks since the Rams left in 95 that have started an AFC or NFC championship game, who are they?
This is anybody in the world. These aren't people who ever played for the Rams.
No, these are just –
the Rams haven't been to 43.
And what is the standard again? Title games.
Yeah, the AFC and NFC championship games, who are the 43
since
quarterbacks?
Since 85.
Since 95.
Since 95.
Yes.
Matt Harmon, you can begin.
Cam Newton.
This is going to go on, I think.
This is going to go
43,
on.
43, that's a lot.
It's a lot.
Go ahead,
Hank. I'll take Drew Brees.
I will take one Ben Roethlisberger.
Aaron Rodgers.
Peyton Manning.
Russell Wilson.
This is started, right? Not just one.
Started.
Correct.
Tom Brady.
Damn, I was going to go with him. Now I'm stuck. Oh, no, wait. No, I'm not. I'm going to go with...
Whoa, handsome!
I'm
gonna
go with Trent Dilfer. I'm gonna go with Trent Dilfer. He was at the back of my list, but I'll put him up there now.
All right, I'm writing down some more names here. I'm gonna go with Peyton Manning,
Carson Palmer,
Ben Roethlisberger.
Oh, he's gone.
Is he Rich Gannon then?
Shaq, you actually said Peyton twice, so what
you
I'm going
to
do is...
No, I didn't, did I?
You did.
Oh, I meant Eli then. I
so
meant Eli.
Eli's in. Back to you, Harmon.
Oh, well, that's not really fair. Shoot, Brett Favre.
Ah, got that one.
Five times for Brett Favre.
Oh, that's a lot.
Jake Delhomme.
Hold on, what, am I out or something?
You did.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Go ahead, hands.
Thanks,
go ahead.
Brad Johnson.
Does this mean it's back to me now?
Now this is getting a little bit more.
Well, you're throwing the order off, Shaq.
Yeah, you really are. You're not helping.
Creeps.
Donovan McNabb.
Ooh. Also five times for McNabb.
How did I come up with that name?
Matt Hasselbeck.
I can go on all day with this list.
Well, you can't all day because there are.
No, you're right. I eventually would run out. But with my filling until I think of the next name, it would take.
Back to you, Shaq.
Steve McNair.
Oh, God. Kerry Collins?
That's correct.
Wow.
He's done it twice.
That's a good one. John Elway. That one was for John.
Beautiful.
I'm going to go with Randall Cunningham.
Kurt Warner.
That was one on my list.
So one day I didn't bring a pen to this show.
I'm trying to think if this guy did or not.
Best way to find out is to say it.
Yeah, I'm going
to
say it. Elvis Gerback.
You know who that is.
Ha.
Put it out there just for fun.
On to you, Shane.
Who'd you say? Elvis Gerback. Of course, Cordell Stewart did it.
Oh, man. I don't know if this is right. This is probably wrong because I can't remember. With the Bears, Jay Cutler.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Was it? I can't remember when with the one game when he got all that criticism.
That was that he got injured like in the first quarter.
I couldn't remember.
I know,
if it was a title game
name
or
the
a
guy,
divisional.
Name the guy who would
Caleb
have started
Haney.
The
Caleb
Super Bowl.
Haney.
That would have been
Caleb
the best.
Haney.
If they would have won that game and Caleb Haney had started a Super Bowl, then we would have laughed and laughed.
Mm.
Drew Bledsoe.
Oh my God, I'm gonna lose. I'm going to lose this game for sure. Philip Rivers?
Yeah, of course. He played in the – took him to that AFC title game there. Now I'm a little bit – how many more do we have?
Hold on. Dave was looking – I like the confidence
that
you had.
16 more.
16? How many of them happened before I was born?
Andrew
Or before
Luck.
I was before I was 10?
Andrew Luck in the Deflategate game.
Good one.
Oh, man. I feel like I'm out of active guys, but I'm probably not.
10 seconds, Harmon.
10 seconds, okay. I don't think he. Joe Flacco.
Ah, you bum! You got it. I was gonna.
Jeez.
I was super excited.
I'm gonna throw up.
One. Mark Brunell.
I feel like this is wrong, but Matt Ryan. I felt like all my answers were wrong.
No, he played in one.
Matt Ryan did. Yep.
Yeah, okay. He played against Colin Kaepernick.
It's been so long ago. Oh, that's not fair.
Back to you, Harmon.
Alex Smith.
Yep.
Oh, jeez.
Two in a row, Mark Sanchez.
Oh, God. This is the most nervous I've been in a while.
I don't know what that says about you.
I don't have a lot of stress in my life.
Gerbach was an interesting one, now that you say it, Handsome. That was not a bad one.
Mike Vick? Oh, my, wow.
Sheesh. Who would have been? Oh, Jake Plummer.
How many have we got left now?
Down to 8.
This is exciting.
We're not going to get through one more round.
Handsome has made his prediction.
Harmon, you're up.
I know I'm up. Don't rush me.
This is since 95.
Yes.
So it includes 95.
Yep.
I don't like that you're so confident that you now know one. Oh, man.
I know one. I think it'll be one of the last names on the.
5 seconds, Harmon. 4, 3, 2.
Dan Marino?
One.
That was wrong.
Nope. Oh, he was pretty close though. He was one of the last to be victimized by those Bill teams.
93.
So if 95 counts, then I can go Neil O'Donnell and Troy Aikman.
I already said Aikman, didn't I?
He said Aikman. It doesn't matter. Damashek is your winner once again. Good one there.
Hey, is Steve Berline on the list?
Steve Berline.
Steve Berline's not on the list.
Give us the final names.
Okay, here's a couple of the names you didn't get. Chris Chandler for Atlanta.
Oh, sure.
Dante Culpepper for Minnesota.
Oh.
Rich Gannon twice.
I
said Rich Gannon.
Rex Grossman.
Oh, good one.
Sure. Sean King for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And then Vinny Testaverde. And, of course, Steve Young one time in 97-98.
Wow.
I had Steve Young, but I couldn't remember how far they went later in his years. All right. Black Tie is now telling me we have to wrap the show.
What?
Black Tie, we have two more divisions to go here in the AFC.
Two whole divisions.
All right. Let me tell you two things. Can we show our boards real quick? I want to show the rest. We'll pay off our analysis on our next show. But please, show the boards. AFC South. I have your Titans bringing up the rear at 6-10. This doesn't mean I think this is a bum team, but I also think Mike Mularkey's track record as a head coach. Get all excited about exotic smash mouth all you want. He's been a terrible NFL head coach. 6-10. Jaguars, 8-8. They're a year away. That's not a knock on them necessarily. Mm-hmm. They're going to have some exciting games, but they're not ready to get to double digits yet. I think the Colts are still a flawed team. I don't assume that Andrew Luck's going to return to 2014. I think he will, but I still think this is a severely flawed team. I think the Houston Texans are your secret AFC powerhouse this year, relatively speaking. I like the Texans quite a bit. I like Bill O'Brien. They repeat. And so there you go there. I like Osweiler to have a good year. And then the AFC West, tightly contested. Again, what happened with the numbers here? I sent you numbers, and these are all wrong. Broncos 7-9 with Trevor Siemian. The defense has to regress. I know you're very much against regression, Matt Harmon, or the word regression.
I'm against the word regression because I feel like it's the most popular buzzword in the fantasy community that just substitute any like real actual thought into it and just be like, well, hey, I mean, this guy's going to regress.
What a jerk. Well, they're going to – regression is what's going to happen to the Broncos defense. They can't score touchdowns every week.
What's their record going to be?
7-9. They have a dominant defense, and it's going to be a closely contested division. Chargers at 8-8. I have the Raiders at 9-7, and I have the Chiefs taking the division at 9-7. I think no one is a great team in that
division. Do you think, because I kind of like the Chiefs offense this year for fantasy a little bit, do you think that they can win that many games, though, with their best defensive player, and clearly probably the best player on their team, hurt for an extended period of time, in Justin Houston?
Yeah, well, and also there's concern about Tamba Hali. So now that's two guys who typically create a lot of sacks for them. So they're both down. But they have loaded up in the last two drafts on talented guys at least to replace that. Yeah, it's a legitimate concern. But Andy Reid is one of those guys. Again, if you just look at in broad strokes, Mike Mularkey is a terrible NFL head coach. The track record says as much. Andy Reid is a great NFL head coach. He tends to produce teams that have winning records, and it's as simple as that. Alex Smith, efficient, call him whatever you want. Jamal Charles is one of the true special talents. Jeremy Maclin, Travis Kelce, and the rest there. So I like the Chiefs to take a soft AFC West this year. We'll dig in further on those teams and give you some fantasy analysis there. Real quick, because I promised it, Emma VP. What was it? Who sent the tweet? Oh, man. I promised it. I promised it, Emma VP. All right. The handsome rankings for quarterbacks are coming next week. Oh. In the meantime, Matt Harmon, give your Twitter address real quick.
It's at @MattHarmon_BYB.
All right. He does great work. Reception, perceptions, hype train or smoke screen, another great feature that he's writing. Look it up at NFL.com. And Handsome Hank, you know, he does this, that, and the other.
Right. Nothing very useful.
Yeah, yeah, but he's busy enough that he doesn't even have time to button up the top half of the buttons on his button.
It takes too much time.
So he must be very
busy.
Whoa.
How come Emma gets no grief for, you know, laying down the hammer? But if I do it, all hell breaks loose.
Gets no grief.
She's very nice.
I'm trying to give grief, but then you're also saying, we got to get out of here. The show's gone on too long. We got to wrap it out here.
I'm just so proud of Emma. I almost put a tear to my cheek, so.
Oh, this is what a moment. I'm so glad I get to be here for this.
Creepy all the way around, but I think if there's one takeaway, it's that Damashek has returned to the top of the mountain in trivia.
I don't know if you have a winning record yet.
Oh, I think I do. I think we got it. That's our next thing. Kent Brown behind the glass. Add up how many victories Damashek has had. I think I've won more often than I've lost in our trivia game there. Congratulations to the Patriots on their 13-3 record. Your Steelers are your second seed. The Texans are the 3 seed. The Chiefs are the 4. Your 2 wild cards are the Bengals and the Oakland Raiders. Oh, no. Yes, the Bengals and the Oakland Raiders, subject to change. We'll be back with more Hooey and Applesauce later on. In the meantime, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.